Hey, happy Valentine's Day. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I am Adam.
And this is Horror Show Hot Dog. Alright, so this is the week for the Final Destination, or La Destinación Última. And we watched five of them. I watched all five. Did you get all five?
I made it through all five, yeah. I actually did it in like 2 days, because they just kind of, you can just relax and let them wash over your brain. There's really not a lot going on.
Yeah, I did 2.5 the first day and 2.5 the second day.
That's about what I did, yeah.
And then 2.5 Men the third day.
Yeah, then I just watched a marathon of 2.5 Men. Not that old shit with Charlie Sheen, the good stuff with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yes.
He said in a sense that's never been uttered by anyone ever.
Right. The good part of 2.5 Men. What? Huh?
Yeah.
So we got all the Final Destinations, starting with Final Destination.
Which is handy because all the plots are exactly the same. Some major fucked up accident is about to happen, someone gets a premonition of it, so they and a few other people avoid it, and then all those people get stalked by death for the rest of the movie. That is all the movies.
I mean, it's a pretty elegant premise, right? Because it's a slasher movie with no slasher. You don't have to worry about your, like, the personality of the slasher making him turn into some kind of hero. Like, there's no Freddy's Dead, the Final Nightmare happening with death.
Right.
He's not quipping.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know, we bring in Tony Todd occasionally, but, like, it makes sense. Like, I thought pretty much all five of these are pretty good. And it seems like they don't suffer from the running out of ideas, because it's just think of a fucked up way that a bunch of people could die, then think of some fucked up ways that other people could accidentally die, and turns out death is all around you.
Yeah.
After you watch all five of them, you tend to see everything in your house and in the world in that, like, this is significant vision. Like, I pick up my icebreaker, which is a, like, 6-foot-long stick with a blade on the end of it, a big metal thing to break up ice. And like, oh, okay. So I slip on the ice, I toss the thing up in the air, I land on my back and go, phew, and then it just comes right in, right at eye level.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in the first movie, the big massive accident is the...
Hey, Remy, knock it off.
The big massive accident is the plane blowing up, which is probably the least creative of the massive accidents of all the movies, because it's probably just because it's the first one, because the initial accident is usually the big set piece of the movie.
See, actually,
in all the movies thereafter.
I like that better.
Really?
That it's just... Because... Alright, I'm going to take some shit for this again, but I have a thing for story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that big intro is going to get taken back, right? It's not really part of the story. So, to me, it's just like, all right, get it over with. We know that everybody that dies in this crash, he's just going to snap back, and then we're going to get on with our movie. So, let's get on with it. Yeah. So, I thought that just freak out on the plane, go out, plane blows up in the sky with this really, like, a quiet explosion that then shatters the windows, which is really
that was a
cool,
pretty cool
effect.
Pitch, yeah.
So, like, that 2 minutes to set it up, I thought were plenty.
Hmm.
I know, what do you think, Adam?
The only reason I give you shit is that your comment on the website makes it sound like I don't give a shit about any story that's ever been made.
To be fair, like, that is accurate.
I only care about pieces of things. I couldn't possibly give a shit about an entire narrative. I'm too dumb.
No, that was very carefully worded to suggest that we have slightly different focuses, not that you ignore the story completely.
I think the plane crash one isn't nearly the shittiest of all of them. I think it sucks, but, I mean, that's just because it's old-looking now. I don't think it's nearly as awesome as the second one. I think the second one is easily the best premonition of the whole series.
Agreed. I think the massive car crash is the best one.
Because the second one's plausible. That could happen. Like, I mean, the plane is, like, it's just going to take off and blow up. I don't even think that's possible anymore. I mean, I guess it's possible.
It was based on an actual thing that happened, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so implausible now. I mean, as a setup to the movie, I like the big opening set pieces because they're some of the coolest practicals and everything. Let's be honest. These movies aren't very good.
No.
But we're here. I mean, I like them all, but I'm not going to champion them like, wow, these are good horror movies, because they're not scary at all in any scope whatsoever. The only tension comes from watching the Rube Goldberg device that Death uses to kill each person. And we're basically in it to watch some really badass practical effect work and visual effect work that results in some really awesome accidental and...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're very similar to like your Friday the 13th movies, where they're by no stretch a very good movie. The plot exists just to tie up until the next death sequence. However, these movies get to be a lot more creative because Jason's only got so many options being a dude. Whereas, like you mentioned, Josh, like, you know, Death can use absolutely anything in the world to kill you, even if it seems innocuous at first.
I thought the first movie actually manages some creepiness and dread in the...
The shower death is pretty disturbing.
The first one is kind of an outlier because I don't think they were building a franchise on it. I do legitimately believe this first one was meant to fill New Line's slate and just never be heard from again. I don't think they expected it to be as big a deal as it was, because it hit, and I remember it being unexpected, because I was excited to go see it in the theater, and after that it was like, wow, they're making another one? That's crazy. And then that's when, you know, it became like a yearly institution.
Yeah.
So, I think the shower, I actually noted the shower death is probably the most tense of the whole thing because it goes on for so long.
Yeah.
He's choking forever.
Yeah, and it's got those great details like all the shampoo on the floor of the tub so you can't get your footing. It's just like all those things that you would just go, man, being that guy, you're in the most hopeless situation ever. Like, that would suck so bad.
What gets you with that is that that's a thing that, like, I do every other day, whether I need it or not. I was going to say, that's the thing we do every day, but that's the thing that French people do once a week.
Right.
That is, it seems like the most innocuous thing in the world, but shit like that does go down. You know, people fall in the shower and die. It's a little more plausible than, like, debris from a train decapitating you and stuff.
Right.
Like, it keeps it really small. That was the only one where you get, like, a ripple and a kind of CG effect where the shadow crosses something and you actually see something there for a minute.
No, that happens in the first one with the teacher too.
I think it pops up a couple times. Yeah. I think, and that's something that Adam and I were talking about this a little bit off air before we started, is that the rules to the universe are a bit fluid in this series. Where in like the first one you have a massive premonition at the beginning and then they just kind of go, oh, people are going to die in the order they would have on the plane, and that's how they try to save people.
And then gets the occasional little twinge, like the piece of paper that says Todd on it.
Yeah, and then like in the next movie, or one of the next movies, maybe the third one, like, oh, I happen to take photographs that will tell us how people will die. And then I think by the fourth one, they just have additional premonitions throughout the movie with really bad CG that tell you how people are going to die. And it's like, so they don't seem too sure even themselves what the mechanics of the universe they built were.
Well, I mean, the big thing is like, here's the thing about this movie, and this goes back to what I was saying just like a second ago, is that the whole series is kind of, like, the franchise itself is a horror movie cash grab, is all it is. And so, I mean, nothing really matters to how these movies get made. The big thing is that the first one was an unexpected hit. Like, if you look at what it cost to make it, it was $23 million, which in 2000, you know, since the movie's set in 1999, but, you know, released in 2000. And for $23 million back then, movies were just getting made for whatever. You know, you could just, you know, $23 million was kind of cheap. And it made $112 million at the box office.
That's enough to give any studio
a bar. That's a monster success. That's the Paranormal Activity of its time.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, it's just like, oh, shit. We got to make sure we make more of these. These things fucking print money. The kids love watching this shit.
But I don't.
So after that, it was just kind of like, just make them.
But I think they avoided some common mistakes in franchisery, where they didn't fuck with the formula too much, but fucked with the formula a little bit in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always coming up with a different way that they're going to cheat death, and they fail every time, so it makes sense that something else would happen each time.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, Saw did. They didn't try and build this really complex mythology around it. They just kind of, oh yeah, I remember that happened to some kids back in the day.
Yeah, Saw kind of got up its own ass with its mythology. This one, yeah, there's a scene in pretty much every movie of, yeah, it's like this has happened once before, and they seem pretty fucked, so I guess so are we. And it's like, that's about as much exposition as you need on that.
The only thing I really don't like is that every movie seems to have that, oh yeah, because those people died like a million years ago, I'm never fucking ever dying, turn around dead.
Yeah, you have the walking off the curb into the bus moment in every movie.
That happens like every movie. It's like, whoa, because somebody died one time, I'm gonna die? Fuck you, dead. I'm like, oh, come on, guys. I know it's fun, but
they do that a lot in 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost everybody who dies as the, like, I mean, most, the biggest one is the dude in the weight room. It's like, fuck death, I only win!
That is one of my favorite deaths in the whole series, just because he's like, oh!
That death in the weight room has one of my favorite incidental background lines, where, like, you know, they're all in there all pissed off because apparently the next game is against the Bruins. And everybody's like, fuck the Bruins! And one guy just kind of goes, what's a Bruin? you hear that in the background, and I'm like, that is fucking funny. And I'm really glad I caught that. Guy gets his head squished.
So the first one sets up your Tony Todd knowing something about what's going on.
Which, hooray, Tony Todd!
He shows up again in 2 and 5.
Yep.
And then he's the voice of the Devil's Roller Coaster in 3.
And that was
not in 4 because he was filming Transformers, turns out.
No, I was trying to figure out in 3, the voice of the Devil thing. At first it sounds like Robert Englund, and then it sounds like Tony Todd, and then it sounds like Robert Englund again, and I wasn't sure if you guys had looked at the credits to see.
I think it's just Tony Todd.
When it does the deep growl, it sounds like Tony Todd, obviously, because that's the only way he can talk, apparently.
Right.
But when it does like the more menacing thing, the pitch goes up, and it sounds more like when Freddy's actually being scary. I don't know, it was weird. So either way, I was like, hooray, that's someone I like, whichever one of them it is.
Yeah.
Would have been cool if it was both.
It's like this first movie kind of... It was originated as an X-Files script, and it shows. It has that kind of creepiness to it, and a little bit more of a darkness in the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the deaths are pretty awesome.
What's the favorite death from the first movie for everybody?
Sean William Scott getting his head severed by debris.
Mine is That's How Regina George Died. You can just drop fucking dead.
Smack.
Oh, the bus, yeah.
Yeah, the bus is... I'm torn between the bus and the shower one. I think I'll say the shower one, because I think it's the more intense, even though the bus one made me laugh a lot.
I will also observe that the one investigator is not The Rock, which is weird.
Right.
that kid gives me the creeps
guy.
Before
he started wrestling?
Yeah, he's not The Rock. He's not even the paper or the scissors. It's weird.
Yeah.
Why was there never
the fact that this is a movie that has Sean William Scott as a nerdy character,
which was pretty great.
I mean, he's
as a nerdy loser.
He doesn't have a whole lot of depth and tone on Sean William Scott, but he does what he does, you know. But it's weird seeing the Stifler as like the hockey guy who the football guys are beating up on.
Yep. So in Final Destination 2,
let me quickly... Let's just wrap up Final Destination 1.
Sure.
So the ending of this is weak.
Yeah,
the ending of them all is pretty weak. The alternate ending for this is even dumber, though.
Isn't it like Clear has a kid or something?
Yeah, the only way to beat death is to bring new life.
Right.
So when they're on the beach, they actually fuck, and he knocks her up, and she has a baby and brings it to the memorial, and then it's like, death is vanquished forever because of my child. And it absolutely doesn't have anything to do with the tone of the movie at all.
Yeah.
But the actual ending where, like, looping back around and hitting the guy with the sign is actually cooler.
Yeah.
It's just not an ending, per se.
Right. Well, and then fucking, what's his face? The drop jaw kid that is the star? That can never close his fucking mouth
Devin
for
Sawa?
The entire movie.
Yeah, between Devin Sawa and Ali Larter, there's a lot of mouth breathing going on in this movie.
Oh my god, I hate mouth breathers. But in like part 2, he gets like the shortest shrift of any character ever.
Yeah,
where like Clear survives with the worst name of all time, and it's like, well, what happened to the other kid? You know, the mouth breather, and she's like, Brick hit him right in the fucking head. Brick, straight up. Brick.
I love that Browning got killed by a brick. Because like he was so like, oh, I'm gonna beat you. I might not win forever, but I've got you beat. And just like, could you just imagine? It's like, I'm totally got this under control. I know. And then just brick. Like, oh, you didn't remember the brick, did you, Browning? I've been doing this for years. Woo! Got your ass. It only took 6 tries, but fuck you. You're done.
Death just throws up deuces, walks away.
You're just like, anyone see that? I fucking threw that brick from the other room.
I threw that shit before it came in the room.
I like to think that as he was walking, somebody walked by him with a ghetto blaster playing, "She is a brick house."
Or they were playing, there are 2 boomboxes, one playing Brick House, and the other one playing Brick by Ben Folds 5, and his brain just exploded.
He's just walking around going, 6 a.m., day after Christmas. What does that have to do with any? She's a brick, bam!
His brain just explodes. There you go. Final Destination 6, you guys are welcome.
Yeah, just do the remake the first one, and have him just get killed by a brick at the end. So the second one, we've got our car... huge car accident. To me, that just went on for fucking ever to set it up.
Gorgeous.
Like, once things started crashing, like, yeah. But, you know, we're kind of waiting for shit to go haywire, so yeah. We're just kind of waiting. And this
I love the second one because, I mean, the logs coming undone, like, that song is like, holy shit, like, that, the freeway is really dangerous.
Yeah, those big
like,
logging trucks make me nervous whenever I
drive. You never take the freeway. I mean, obviously you should. Motor safety is important, but like it's just a thing. You know, it's like I use it all the time. But like it's just like watching like that log go through the cop car, and then just like the like mist that used to be the cop coming out of the back windshield.
Yeah,
it's like God damn.
Yeah,
you know, like all of these crazy. Dude getting smashed by his own motorcycle.
Yep.
Like all those things. Like, holy shit, that's really outrageous. And that's my favorite set piece of all of them. I do like that they tried to incorporate a fat version of Jason Mewes in the movie, though, who never, ever has held weed in his life, apparently. Oh my god, you guys, it's the 5-0. Let me hide my weed bags. Let me hide them weed bags. God damn it, stop saying
fellows,
bags.
I need to stash my marijuana sack. Perhaps I should place it next to my nut sack.
So yes, the same story that happens in the first one happens.
Yep.
And so we get down to the meat of it, and things start happening.
Tony Todd pops up again to be creepy, which I like.
Yeah, and he's just like, you gotta steal that baby and turn the straw into gold. I'm like, that sounds like Rumpelstiltskin, dude. That doesn't sound like the thing that we need to do. He's like, it might be. I do a lot of drugs.
This is the movie that I had to make the note of acknowledging your own shitty plot is a bold move. Because when they get everybody together like they do once in every movie to explain what they think is going on, one of the characters is like, so you're saying we all survive an accident and then death stalks and kills us all one by one? That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And I was like, right you are, movie, but here I am watching it.
The same guy that wrote the Seth Green line at the end of Idle Hands.
I was like, that's a really bold move to just shit on your own story.
Was that the second one or the third one with the that happens then. I can't remember.
My note's in the second. I thought it was the third, but maybe...
The problem of watching them all, like, in one sitting. This one has one of my most favorite deaths in the whole series because of the irony of it. And that's when Kat Dennings... Or no, the Kat, whatever her name is, business lady. Not Kat Dennings. She's like, could you be a little bit more quiet with that thing? And the firefighter's like, oh, that's cool. We'll just put it on quiet. And rams the jaws of life into the car, triggering the airbag and punching her head through that pipe that's, like, broken through the back of her seat.
Yep, that was pretty
great. Like, that is fucking awesome. What a great death. It's just, like, killed, cause of death, the jaws of life.
Yeah, I wrote fucking sick airbag death. I really like that one. The glass plate smush earlier on in the movie.
I love little Timmy getting crushed.
Yeah, me too. That one I thought was pretty great. That one looked really good. And then the elevator decapitation, that pops up in movies every now and then, but it's always kind of a favorite death of mine.
I like that they did more just reactions to people who are on either side of that body.
Yep, that was pretty great.
Than really going for showing the decapitation. It's like, in this one, they really go all out faking you out.
Yeah.
They'll show you all sorts of shit that's in the room, and then what happens turns out to be a little simpler than that.
Yeah.
And so, like, the deaths are all really cool, but they lose any sense of, like, creeping doom or creepiness or anything. It is just, like,
at this point, you're cheering for them. Yeah.
A lot of the deaths in this one are caused directly by the people trying to save the lives, which doesn't happen in the first one.
Yeah. They're just making things worse by interfering.
They call attention to the pigeons for little Timmy, and then he goes, "Oh, sweet, pigeons," and runs in.
Because, you know, when I see a bunch of pigeons, I think, awesome, I want to be near those diseases.
Well, I think I want to do that scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Right.
I want to see if I can crash some planes with that shit. The lady who gets hooked is because they warned her about the hooks.
Yep.
She ends up getting killed. And Eugene and Clear both get kind of offed because they bothered to go to Eugene's hospital room.
Yeah.
Turns out he probably would have been okay if they had just kind of let things slide.
The death at the very end of the movie when, like, the little kid walks over to the barbecue and the barbecue just explodes.
Right.
I just kind of was like, what the hell? Like, I get it. That's you like, aha, but really? Just, like, we're all eating a hot dog and then the barbecue explodes and kills little Billy.
And none of these movies know how to end. And it's because there's no beating the bad guy.
Yeah.
So
you just have to stop filming at some point.
And of course, there's always money to be had. So
right. As long as there's money on the table.
You can't just have an ending where death, like, they defeat death and no one ever dies ever again.
Yeah.
So the weird thing is at the end of it, well, for one thing, they're driving in the car with Kimberly, and they let Kimberly drive, the protagonist,
mm-hmm.
even though she's having debilitating visions that take her out of reality for minutes at a time. And after she has the first one, they're like, oh, okay, calm down, honey. You just need to drive. Like, no, fucking Officer Friendly can drive, or Allie Larder can drive. It's fine. But by the end of it, everybody's dead but her and Officer Burke, and she's still trying to, like, I can do it. I can save us all. Like, bitch.
There's no all left.
Us all? You mean us both.
I can make sure that both of us don't die.
For the It'll next be three cool. minutes.
All I have to do is die. I mean, that's a decent idea.
I like the idea of, like, introducing, okay, if I was the last one in line and I off myself. Like, they bring that up, I think, is it the third
one? In the movie? Third one, the dude tries to kill.
Yeah, which I was like, okay,
Ramona
that
Flowers.
To me added a really interesting thing of, like, now it's not only, like, are we going to avoid death long enough, but are we going to be able to convince someone to be, like, the honorable sacrifice to save the group? And, like, that could add some tension with them trying to kill the last person.
Right.
Because then they're dead, and that would save them. Like, that could add a whole level of all kinds of interest.
Although we established with Eugene in this one that you can't die if it's not your turn.
Right. Yeah.
So he unloads his gun into his face and just gets click, click, click.
Yep.
And then it turns out
which is a pretty cool scene.
All like kinds
that.
Of bullets. Yeah, I love the, like, you don't keep it loaded. It just flip it open, six bullets right up in there.
Yep.
This one, I mean, it's kind of fun. I don't really give a shit about any of these people, except maybe Clear a little bit, because I liked her coming out, you know, like, I'm totally gonna die doing this, but I'll see if I can help some people. Turns out I can't, but, you know, big ups for trying.
Yeah. I feel like 2 is probably my favorite of them all.
Hmm, that's interesting. I like the fake out with the pregnant lady.
Yep.
That was pretty groovy.
It's number 3?
Yeah, this is so, like, unremarkable, pretty good. Final Destination 3, big set piece, which takes for goddamned ever.
Yeah, I do make
the note. Is the roller coaster.
Yeah, the chick's fright over getting on the roller coaster is infuriatingly stupid and takes way too long. Like, I'm sorry, you're a fucking adult. Get on the goddamn roller coaster and ride the ride.
Or don't.
But, like, don't be that whiny, mewling piece of shit that has to be coaxed up the,
like,
ramp.
No,
by
I really feel like I should ride with my friends.
Yeah, like, I spent a summer working at Valley Fair and had to deal with those assholes. Like, it's just like, I would. Oh, God.
You are Ramona Flowers. You get on that fucking roller coaster, you hottie. FedEx bag carrying roller skating.
Yeah. Oh, also, I would love to know, Adam. You're more into technology than me. You always have the newest iPad or whatever. Where can I find a digital camera that makes the old timey flashbulb sound?
The giant flashbulb noise.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you just got to download the app into your camera.
You're probably right. Sadly.
Yeah, our camera, like my camera, could sound like an AK-47.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like every picture. And you're almost like hearing
the
wind film.
Remember the time we all watched Texas Chainsaw?
Yeah, exactly. It is the same sound effect. And I was like, what the fuck? It's a digital camera. Maybe you get a beep beep, if that.
Because everyone likes that sound. And, you know, rightfully so. It's a wicked sweet sound. It's just that it's like, look, man, I got horror cred. I know that sound from TCM, bro. I know that sound.
Turner Classic Movies.
Was anybody tempted by the choose their fate option on the DVD? I didn't check it out because I had shit to do.
No.
No, I rented all on Amazon, so I didn't get to choose my fate. I got provided for
so
me.
So when they shot this, they shot it with the idea in mind of doing a DVD with multiple choices for how the characters get iced.
Huh.
Which doesn't affect the plot, really. It's just like, how slow do you want this dude to die, or whatever. So I didn't actually do it.
In the movie, but yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Does she put the sunscreen over here or over there?
I feel like the better option there is to just trust that the one that they intended to be in the movie is the one they probably spent the most time on, because why would you put the less cool one in the movie?
Right.
So odds are it's not going to be that great. The roller coaster deaths when they finally get on the roller coaster are pretty fun.
They're kind of boneless and physics free, I guess. Like, none of it feels like it has any heft to it.
No, I'll agree with that. But, like, there's a couple that kind of, like, okay, the thing ends up rolling backwards a little bit, so that pipe that broke off earlier that seemed like it was just showing the thing falling apart ends up impaling some guy on the backswing.
Right.
Like,
and getting stuck upside down is pretty
hellacious. Yeah, there were a couple things that were sort of neat there, but...
That's probably the scariest part of that particular set piece, is, like, being upside down on the thing,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you're probably not going to be able to hold on, and, like... staring death straight in the face, like, I got about 5 seconds to live. Fuck. the other point of order on the fucking roller coaster is that the reason that the roller coaster crashes is that Frankie is on the roller coaster with his camera, and he drops the camera on the track, and that's what causes the giant pileup. And putting the big dude's harness down tight is what makes the hydraulics leak, and that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
There are at least three things that happen in the dream sequence that make the roller coaster crash that don't happen.
That's a good point. So I hadn't thought of that.
Not to, like, nitpick Final Destination 3, but
isn't that maybe the idea, though, that, like, all these are, like, inevitable deaths, so there would have been whatever other contrived circumstance? Like, that roller coaster's gonna crash and kill everybody on it.
I think they just fucked up.
I think they did, too, but, I mean, I think that is kind of the conceit.
Well, no, I mean, no, that's totally... I mean, I agree with Josh, they probably totally fucked up, but at the same time, what you're saying, Matt,
mm-hmm.
totally works. If I were a director and, like, and Josh came up to me with that, I was like, so he didn't drop his camera and that thing didn't happen. Yeah, but, I mean, the deaths are preordained because death of the design. Do you not even watch the fucking movies? and just like say that and be like, well,
and I would say hit your continuity, bro. The other four movies managed it.
I know that they dropped the camera thing, derailed the whole movie. Well, it really didn't derail the whole movie. I still made the movie I wanted to make. But yeah. I totally agree that that's like, I thought that same thing too. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, it was just that the camera.
It wasn't like, oh, the movie is over now. It was just like, oh, well. You kind of fucked up your opening then, bro.
How would it have been, though, to have a Final Destination, though, where it's like, oh, no, the roller coaster death. But all that shit doesn't happen, and there is no big death, and everyone just lives. And it's like, oh, great, oh, my God, everyone's alive forever. Like, nothing it's just like the not Final Destination.
It just turns into this bucolic picture about
nothing. People running through a meadow for an hour.
Everyone in the movie lives, like, oh, we're all best friends now, and we beat the Bruins. Oh, we beat the Bruins!
What the fuck is the Bruins?
You know what they should do is make that the opening set piece an hour and a half long.
Right.
And just, like, people dying horribly, like, to the point where it's on a global scale.
And it's just exhausting.
Yeah, where, like, one dude gets launched up in the air and he gets stuck in the engine of a jet plane, which manages to hobble its way across the ocean. But
into
then,
the, like...
yeah, crashes in fucking Paris, knocks over the Eiffel Tower. Give me the entire global scale of atrocity.
Yeah.
And then at the end, just have the guy go, whoa! Shit, man.
And he chooses to not...
Like, I'm taking all of these dudes out. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to wake up like, oh, shit.
And he doesn't
I
open that can.
I am not riding the bumper car.
Oh, no, it's got to be even dumber. Like, he doesn't open the can of Sprite that someone shook up just before they gave it to him.
Just puts
so
it
doesn't spray him in the face, so it doesn't... And it's just like, I guess I'll have a root beer instead. Yeah, and then everybody's fine.
You guys
you
have
really
no idea.
You really should cut back on all this soda in the end.
So, we got to talk about the tanning bed death, because that was the one that... Josh, you had said was like the gross torture porn one.
Yeah, as I put on in my notes this time, just the tanning bed death is just kind of grisly and sad.
I thought it was lame, but I didn't find it to be as disturbing as you seem to think it was. I think you have a really low threshold for what you call torture porn.
No, it just goes on longer than any of the other deaths and is more, like, painful and Yeah.
I think it's sillier than it most of the other deaths.
It would be like, oh, come on, dude. So you have them whip out their boobs.
A lot of boobs.
Yeah, which is great. But then you kill them as slowly, more slowly and painfully than anybody else in the whole fucking movie. Like, come on.
I do love
'80s of you.
They have to narratively point out that the one girl is still wearing underwear so that you can have shots inside her tanning bed without showing her snatch, so you can still have them in the movie.
Right.
Whereas the other girl is completely nude, so you only see her from, like, the tits up. And then
tits up.
Then right after that, the next scene, that I love the declaration that one of the characters is like, that's bullshit. Like, those two both died before they even turned 18. I'm like, after we just spent all this time looking at these two chicks naked, you tell me they were 17? Like, thanks for making me a better ass retroactively? What the fuck?
That should be at the end of every porn movie. It's like, oh my god, I can't believe we shot all that crazy shit with that 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, and I was like, that's just a really... Like, they put that line in, like, literally 30 seconds after that scene, and it's really, like... right front and center, and it's like, that's,
they also, like,
that's great, you retroactively made them underage.
With the tanning bed death comes the, I was kind of sick already of water dripping into a motor.
That happens a lot in these.
Yeah,
into
and
a computer,
I guess it
into an outlet,
becomes
into
a leitmotif, but it's still, like, every time that happened, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Electricity again. And when they do something that sets that up and then doesn't have it happen, like, oh, thank god.
The one after that, though, is the really wicked sweet truck engine death.
Yeah, Frankie getting his fucking head mowed up in the drive-thru.
Oh, also, by the way, before that, though, in the series of showing other creepy pictures, they have one with the planes on 9/11.
Yep, that was
2003 or yeah. 6. They're like, Bold move.
I was like, stay classy, Final Destination. Stay classy.
So was there a guy on the plane who had a vision?
I mean, it implies that that's a really kind of a... like,
okay. I don't want that much reality in my fucking Final Destination movies.
Yeah, that took a little bit too much of a serious turn.
But yeah, Frankie with the engine going through the head, and then the last turn of the blade, once you're done with the scene, and it's like, jew! Oh.
Oh yeah,
he was already dead.
Take a little extra brain for the road.
Yeah, that one, that's a really fun one, because you if you'd given me all the time in the world to guess what was going to happen there, it would have been some version of, oh, they get squished by the truck, or they get halfway out and get pressed between the drive-through window and the thing, and it smears them in half.
Right.
Never would I ever in a million years have said, oh, well, clearly the engine's going to fly out and the propeller's going to hack up the back of his head. Like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
After that, we have the jock death.
We have Lewis getting his head smashed up, which is great.
After the death, as it pans out to the police cars on the scene, the score goes dun 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 dun. Like, seriously and literally, after he's like, fuck death, yeah. Like, he's all Ice Cube, like, fuck dying, and like, nope, smash.
The killing pigeons with a nail gun looks like the most fun thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, for the couple that works in whatever, the not actually Home Depot but is clearly Home Depot.
Yeah.
Like, he's the boss wants me to get rid of the sleepo. Pigeons, and he just grabs a fucking nail gun and a cherry picker. Like, that looks awesome.
Grom Gripo.
The nails through the head, though, were great.
Those
were
really
cool. Oh my god, that was amazing.
They just keep coming. Like, they just don't, like, it just doesn't stop being nails through her head.
And you're like, oh.
It's just, shush, it's like, Jesus Christ, her hand is nailed to her face already. Just like five more. Just gotta make sure she's
And it's worse because nail guns are quiet.
Yeah.
For some reason, that just like,
yep,
is more disturbing than, if the compressor had kicked on, which is what happens after I use my nail gun that much, it would have been kind of broken the scene a little bit.
Would have been a little funny.
Well, I like that she gets hit and, like, there's no, like, oh my god! It's just, like, that goes right through her brain and, like, it's already over.
Yeah, it's over with the first one. The rest are just for show.
She's long dead, guys.
No, you're just showing off.
So we get to the...
Then we get the, like, the homecoming parade thing.
Right, they're like a park or whatever for some kind of thing, right? Is that this one?
Yeah,
fireworks.
Somebody gets flagpoled, and that's what I love. That
there's the flagpole on his dome.
There's a huge setup where we're not sure who's going to be the next one to die. where she finally does the CSI zoom and enhance on the picture to see that it's her sister, but then it's not. You know, the picture thing was kind of cool, I guess, but...
I was kind of mad about it.
Like, they only make sense after the fact, and there are multiple pictures of each person, so it's really like... It seems like they're trying to find a pattern where there isn't one.
Yeah, it's like it's very pareidolia.
Yeah,
you're seeing what you want to.
If they had made them really obviously what like after the fact, but no, it was especially doing the like, well, Frankie Cheeks' picture just has him giving the thumbs up next to a twat, and then like, oh, we forgot about this one where there's a giant fan blade behind his head. Like, yeah, that was a little dumb.
I was gonna say there's only one picture. An upskirt. Right.
There's a really great smush death again.
Oh Lord, yes.
With the what was it like? Some big sign, or is it just the cherry picker itself?
Cherry picker. Yep. It's our unfortunate hero from Ginger Snaps gets crushulated by a cherry picker.
Yeah, I was trying to figure like who is this like Benedict Cumberbatch Jr. looking dude, and searching through the IMDb got me Ginger Snaps.
It would explain the uncircumcised dick. Wow, he used that line in both movies. Bold. Awesome. I love it.
That's why he uses that line in every movie. That's why he doesn't get a lot of voiceover work for kids' movies.
I wrote at the end of Final Destination 3, the train death was weak, and I can't even remember the train death now.
Really?
I'm dying! That's what it was.
Was it?
It crashes, and then like, Ramona Flowers is like, oh, no! End of movie.
Oh, wait, yeah, in the subway? Is that the one?
Yeah, so they're in the subway.
Oh, yeah, that was stupid. I didn't like that.
It was not stupid.
But, see, you're wrong about everything. It's
weird. Her on the track looking at the train coming, going, oh, no!
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the big boom.
It was, yeah, that was
like, smashed the credits, and I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, that one didn't.
Because you end up with three people left, and they all think that they're fine, and then somehow they're all on the same train.
And then they know they're boned.
And then they're at Booth Station for John Wilkes Booth, and next stop is Oswald for Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, was it? I didn't notice that.
Every president they reference in the first couple of movies is one who was assassinated or had an attempt.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like McKinley High is a thing.
Yeah, so McKinley shows up to like, in like four of the movies.
All of the stops on the subway are people who've tried to assassinate or assassinated a president.
Gotcha.
And then the train scene was kind of super awesome, where...
I don't know. Didn't do it for me.
I thought it was pretty cum dumpstery weak as far as the end. It's definitely better than the end of kid getting blown up by...
It's not a joke, or sign smashing.
It's not the worst one of the series.
But dude, like, crawling out the window and getting half of his body just ground away on the tunnel. That was awesome.
Yeah,
bodies flying all over the place. What do you want? What more do you want?
My problem with it is legitimately the
what?
Oh,
did we just lose Adam?
We lost Adam.
Oh no. Hello.
Apparently I got hung up on.
Yeah, my internet just shit itself for a second there.
Oh, right on. But my only problem was legitimately just the oh no. Otherwise I don't really mind.
I think it was just the very stereotypical no, like Darth Vader.
I don't even remember her saying anything.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't that would say make it weak. I'm totally embellishing, but she looks up and she goes She like does the breathe in and then scream. Like instead like in very horror movie fashion, just kind of like,
and that might have been. Yeah.
It just didn't play for me. That part was like, ugh.
So what I wrote down for this one is my like final thoughts on it. The formula's starting to show wear and tear. We don't care about the characters. Most of them show up at the beginning and only show up again at their death scene.
Yeah,
which there's no pulling anybody together through the whole thing.
Which I think makes it make sense that they planned for the fourth one to be the last one.
And everything seems to go on too long.
Yeah.
Like, there are very few instances where the building tension actually works. It's just, like, the dude with his wind baby death was one of the few where you're actually going, okay, what's going to happen? The rest of it is just kind of like, okay, so there's fireworks, and there's a horse, and there's a bell, and there's a sign, and there's... like, fuck you, dude. Just get it done. So this was probably, for me, the weakest one.
Yeah, three.
Even though it's still, like... I really like all five of these movies, so like this is my least favorite of movies that I enjoyed.
Right on. So, Final Destination 4.
My
Worst opening sequence.
Yeah, really bad. Mine was my comment here. Give me a jolt, guys. I've watched three of these fucking things. I want something new. Give me an opening sequence that's not a dream sequence.
You know what I like?
Weird with it.
Yeah, you know what I like best about the opening of 4 is the binocular flask. I thought that was clever. I would like one of those, sir.
Right.
I was
birthday?
Happy to see that racist piece of shit was Kyle from Dance of the Dead.
Yeah.
And then I was really sad that he was a racist piece of shit because I wanted to like him again. Yeah. So that
I was hoping that when he died, like, do me a favor, kill them all. Or, I'm sorry, I was such a dick.
That would have been better. By the way, who the fuck is in charge of Foley? Because I've never seen a car slip on oil and make a monkey screeching sound. I was like, what the shit is that? Like, it's not even a squeal that kind of sounds like a monkey. It is just legit that, like, monkey sound. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, don't tell me how to do my art, man. Your job is to recreate
I'll Foley
however
I fucking want, okay?
But yeah, that's...
But yeah, all the race car
your comedy show and start writing your jokes, fucker.
Sequences.
Yeah, the race car deaths were utter shit, and most of them were just people getting crushed by huge things falling from the roof.
Oh, I can't even wait to get to this kill. I gotta shit on it. I gotta shit on it right now.
Do it.
This is a diarrhea hating moment.
Excellent.
Dude who gets hit in the chest with compressed air and pushed through razor wire fence?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, I just looked at it and I was like, fuck you.
Well, it was a giant tank, you know.
Well, it was a fire extinguisher,
yeah, but,
I thought.
Dude,
was it a compressor?
No, it was like
an
oxygen tank.
Push a human body through a fence?
Okay, yeah, but that's the thing. Is I made the note that guy standing there almost gets crushed by the van, and then, so the death finally makes that stupid distracting fence that's been between our characters the whole time make sense. Because that's a fence that exists nowhere.
And you know what? That fence, I feel really bad about that, because the fucking dudes who had to probably convert that movie to 3D... That probably took somebody about 14 days to do any one of those sequences because of how hard it is to do 3D on fences.
Yeah, that sucks hard. But
it was just like, that movie's just like, it's just a giant fuck you for that one spot because it's just so dumb. It's just so not a thing that could, like, I could imagine the compressed air would kill him. If that tank hit him in the face, it would just kill him.
Sure, yeah, it would
like,
be more just
smacks
crushing
him into
that.
A fence that, like, cuts cookie cutter chunks. It cuts right through him.
Yeah, somehow.
And everything.
Like that fucking fence is, like, literally to the top. It's like it's the sword Kevin Costner has in The Bodyguard, but a fence made out of it.
That's a really deep pull right there.
Wow. Yeah, you needed some kind of, like, giant heavy metal slab to sandwich him in that fence. Maybe the van could have done it, but...
Yeah,
So, yeah, that pissed me off.
The only actually thing I liked about the opening in this one is that the opening credits sequence recaps all the deaths from all the other movies.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was kind of neat. I thought that was a nice touch.
I wasn't a huge fan of the Mortal Kombat X-ray vision, but...
I like that better than trying to actually show clips of the other movies, though.
It was like reminding us that all that shit happened. Sure, buddy.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I was like, okay, as a movie that you can tell is meant to sum up the franchise, I kind of like that. The towing death with Kyle is probably the silliest of all the deaths, I think, in any of these movies, with maybe the exception of the barbecue just randomly blowing
you're
up.
You're forgetting the rock going through the MILF's eye.
I love the rock.
I love that. Yeah, that,
but
the fact
that
her
was
kids
pretty silly.
Inadvertently kill her.
Oh, no, it's totally silly, but I mean, the fact that, go back and watch that part of the movie, and the whole time go, da 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 rock lawnmower.
The thing is, though, like, that's... While it's a little silly in context of the movie, like, we know a girl who got hit with a rock from a lawnmower. Didn't kill her, but she's stuck in about 5-year-old brain state.
Wow.
And, like, yeah, like, so it's, that does happen to people. Like, which is why, like, why make my kids go inside if we're mowing the lawn?
The people in this movie are kind of made out of the, like, Dusk Till Dawn vamp.
Yes, they very much
bodies.
Are.
But, yeah.
The chick in the hair salon, though, that does MILF's hair, I thought it was Joanna Angel for a minute, the porn star. I was like, man, interesting. Oh, I guess not. Huh, but what if it was? So I had my own little private movie in my head for about 3 minutes there that was way better.
Most of this movie kind of made me shrug.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of sitting there waiting to be entertained. When they got to the, like, dude getting run over by the van mid-sentence. Like, well, that was obviously, like, a Matt shot. We knew something was going to happen there.
Yep.
But going all the way to the theater and then taking all of that back, I thought was actually a pretty cool move.
Yeah, because it took out another, one of the lamest deaths.
Yeah, and to do another huge take-back, like, in the middle of it was something new and different, and I thought that was super interesting.
Although, fucking, I don't even know how to say his last name, Chuck Palahniuk?
Yeah, somebody was reading their...
Somebody got to sue somebody over that pool death, because that was fucking...
Oh, God, that one was also just ultra lame, though.
It was like, super dumb, yeah.
Like, you can't show us, like, the dude's intestines getting sucked out of his butt, even in your R-rated movie, so don't try.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's just sitting on top of the pool thing, he could drown.
Yeah.
That would be
that
fine.
That would make plenty of
but
sense.
But for me to believe that the fucking thing is gonna yank all of his intestines out, like, even in the context of Movieville...
Yep.
Was a little much.
And I made the note here, but I can't remember the kill now. Bathtub squished death, which is after the pool death. And I can't think of what that was, but I put should have been cut because introducing a character... Oh, the guy that was the cowboy in the hat in the beginning.
Yeah.
Introducing a character just in time to kill him. Because they literally remember he exists, and 3 minutes later he's dead.
I thought that was really cool.
I just thought it was like, why are you even bothering to introduce him at this point? You're just
to show them that
pause.
They were wrong. Right?
I guess.
So, like, oh shit, there was that guy that we forgot about that suddenly is part of the rotation. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. That one kind of bummed me out. I thought it was kind of lame.
This one has a bunch of little callbacks to various kills in the movie. Like, they've got the nail gun happening again. That whole sequence where he ends up with his arm nailed to the wall.
That was
putting
cool.
out the fire. Like, that. I was on board for that. Like, the last third of this movie really elevated it for me.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought, for the most part, this movie just looked like it didn't care about itself.
But with that, so, like, he has the vision, and then he's smart enough to do something different.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what's going to happen. I'm not going to run into the theater and try to convince her. I'm going to go find the source of the fucking thing.
Yeah, which that was the only person that ever tried to do that.
Yeah. But then at the end, they, of course, all get run over by a bus. And at which point the movie just slaps you back
into the credit sequence, yeah, which, again, is fucking terrible.
Which it... I understand what they're doing with this. Like, hey, you guys, you've seen three of these, and here's the fourth one to remind you of the three that you just saw.
Yeah, here's the fourth one to say, fuck off, and thanks for all the money.
Yeah, like, this was an entry into the franchise. I still think that it works better than Roller Coaster Bill.
Honestly. I feel like I would have liked Roller Coaster better.
Because it does pull, like, fucked with the formula several times in interesting ways, even though, like, most of the shit, you know, like, the first two-thirds of it, we don't give really a rat's ass what's happening.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap
the third
this bitch
one, up. I like the third one more than the fourth one because it has more cool kills for me.
Yeah.
So.
Feel it. See, you like the pieces of the third one, and I like the story of the fifth one.
Jesus.
Fourth one.
Well, I mean, I don't understand how stories work.
Right. We've established that you're baffled as to how a narrative is composed.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get why things happen to anyone, ever.
So
it's like, dude, I'm wet, and then I went out in the rain. No, Adam. You went out in the rain, and now you're wet. You don't know how cause and effect work.
That sounds like the exact same thing to me.
Yeah. So what I like... Final Destination 5, they get off on the right foot right away because instead of, like, this is what it sounds like when worlds collide, and fucking X-rays, there's, like, an orchestral score that's kind of gnarly, and then you've got glass breaking and things that have killed people in previous movies coming through the glass. Like, super tight credit sequence.
I like
that
a lot, yep.
And then you see in Tony Todd's name in the credits, like, okay.
And you're really excited, yep.
This is going to be good.
David Koechner, who I always love to see show up in a movie.
And then
his death scene in that opening is great.
It is
fucking tar.
Really good, yeah.
It's tar, right? It's not oil. It's tar, right?
I believe it's tar. It looks like blacktop from refinishing the bridge.
Oh, yes. Oof.
Yeah, that was fucking amazing. But yeah, so you get that douchey kid on the phone who just keeps getting phone calls from girls he's hitting on. He's like, no, I remember you. You're like a bigger gal, right?
Yeah.
one of the greatest
the
things
total
to
player
say to
who
someone.
Looks like Melvin... from whatever.
And just always says the worst thing ever to anybody. I actually liked the bridge collapse as the set piece. I thought that one actually worked pretty well, and those deaths were pretty fun.
They did some great stuff, like she falls into the water, she's still alive, and then gets hit by a car in the water.
That was really great. Because when she survived, I was like, oh, shit, they could all just jump up. Oh, nope, no, they can't.
the Cloverfield-esque death of the girl getting whipped by the bridge cable.
Yeah.
that. I was like, that's something that actually kind of freaks me out in real life. I was like, man, because it's like how fast something like a tension cord.
Yep.
Because reading about it when I was working on Transformers 3, one of the stuntmen almost got killed.
Oh, really?
Like, he got hurt really bad. They were doing a scene where he was driving Bumblebee because he's in car form, so that's, you have to have a human being driving it.
Right.
And they did this kind of like chain sequence where the car is supposed to get whipped and spun around, so it spins really fast. But the chain or the bridge cable ripped, and the tension in the cable ripped through the car and split the dude's head almost completely in twain, and he lived. Whoa. But like the fact that was probably like and happened.
It's over
like,
before you know.
No, there's
it's
no
happened.
Like. Ooh, let me dodge it. It just probably just like,
yeah,
you know, like that is kind of freaky to me where it's like, oh shit, I feel like I'm normal, but that's because my body hasn't fucking fallen apart yet.
Exactly. And it's like, why is everybody looking at me all horrified? Because they saw it happen. You're not even aware of it yet. Yeah.
And being in Minneapolis for watching that bridge go down did give me a little bit of a shiver.
Yeah, Greta is still a little upset about that because she was about 200 yards away from it when it fell down. And, like, you know, had traffic been a little lighter, would have been on it. And so she was all like, why? All the traffic just came to a screeching stop. And it's like, oh, because the road is gone now. And so she's had a bit of a thing with bridges since then. The gym scene has some really good tension. Like, it's nice to see them actually set up. Oop, there's like a little nail or a screw on the balance beam, and then you're watching a little screw come out of one thing, and there's a little bit of water by another thing, and they spend enough time with nothing going wrong that it actually starts to build a little bit of dread, which the movie's kind of forgotten to do for three movies.
Yeah,
which I really liked. And then, holy shit, I think you have the best death of the series.
Yep. Garrett, that's like I had referenced this, I think, when we first started doing this podcast, and I had just seen that sequence. And it is by far the best VFX to practical handoff in the history of horror movies.
It is so good.
That is unreal how well that shot hands off.
Yeah.
From digital body flying through the air to landing and then being girl.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my god!
Like, yeah, because that's...
Holy shit! Like, not only does she like get folded up, like her leg snaps and it's like protruding, like, oh my god.
Yeah, it just... Yeah, and it's like...
I like that it had nothing to do with the loose screw on the bar either.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
She just fucked up her dismount because the cloud of dust distracted her.
Yep. And it's
yeah. I mean, that is what we all watch gymnastics to see, right? I mean, assuming that we all watch gymnastics and it's not to
masturbate
over the girls, right? Well, because most of them are like 15, and that's at least 5 years too old.
And that only works if you find out after the fact.
Yeah, they're only 15.
They have to show you right at the beginning. Here comes Ellie. She's 15. Thanks a lot.
Let's see. What's next? Oh, the Buddha death for Playa. Well, he gets his head smooshed, right?
Yeah, Senor Comic Relief has his big comic relief scene, which would not have been out of place in just a straight-up Apatow comedy.
Right.
So, like, as a piece of it on its own, it was fine. It didn't quite mesh.
Yeah, it was kind of... I like the idea of, like, falling over and getting a bunch of needles shoved through you. Like, that was
pulling the needle out and keep pulling and keep pulling and keep pulling.
So that guy dies. Then you go to your LASIK death, which Adam and I were talking about a bit before we started recording.
Eat it.
Yeah, like, I kind of liked it. I thought the ending up falling out the window was kind of lame or whatever. But just having watched someone get LASIK and how disgusting it is when it goes right... Like, that's one that it gives me the
heebie-jeebies. Almost Colby Smothers' death I do not like.
I enjoyed it. She had the best line in the movie when the gymnast says, maybe you should hit the gym or something, work off that fat. And she goes, it's not fat, honey, they're called tits.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
As she's taking off her shirt.
Yep. Like,
well played.
Mm-hmm.
Were there boobs in this at all?
In this one? I don't think there were.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I was trying to
keep that. Like, three out of five.
Like, in the first one, there's just the Penthouse magazine.
No, the first one has the biker chick flash. No, that's the second one.
No, second
one has the biker chick flash. The first one, he's just, like, Devin pulls out his hustler or whatever.
Yep.
The second one's the biker chick flash. Third one is the tanning beds. The fourth one
I don't think is
the chick that he's banging in the cabana by the pool.
Oh, right. Yep.
And then the fifth one is boobless.
Yeah.
But, I kind of liked that it wasn't the laser that killed her. I thought it was weird that she was screaming when the laser was hitting her eye because her eye is numb.
But I kind of assumed when it was started, going all the way through the eye.
When it started carving runes onto her hand.
Yeah.
And just having, like, she lands, the eyeball goes rolling. That's a little over the top. And but then I run over by a car. I beautiful.
It. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
So then we get to the actual interesting shit here, where we have the, well, if you take somebody's life, you can take their remaining years and kind of graft them onto you,
yeah.
says Tony Todd. Which actually makes for some interesting plot business in the second half. And you have the DA from Law & Order, who has seemed like completely unnecessary character from the beginning, now becomes a pawn in this.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed how the rest of the movie plays out from there.
I'm having difficulty remembering the rest of the movie. I have a note that says meh on the construction death. What was that one?
That was
the dude who falls and gets hooked through the mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was kind of mad on that.
But then right after that, though, Keckner gets a how do you do from a monkey wrench right through the face.
Yep, I liked
that
his.
That's pretty great.
And my note is I miss David Keckner already.
Honestly, if I could choose between dying covered in boiling tar or just getting a wrench through the brain, I'm going for the wrench.
Yeah, I'll take the wrench, certainly.
It did make me think if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. But so the end of it, they're in the restaurant. Crazy eyebrow dude comes back all fucked up about his girlfriend, and he's going to kill the other girl because she's the survivor.
Yep, you have your kitchen showdown.
And who does she... what right does she have to survive? Which is another interesting thing in his,
yep.
in his little montage at the beginning. She survives.
Rage grief.
And they end up eventually just myrtillating Peter with a giant rotisserie skewer.
Yep.
At which point they're safe and everything's fine, and they get on the plane to go to Paris. And it's the plane from the first one.
Yep.
And having been warned about that from Adam, I was watching, and they actually nailed it through the whole movie.
Second time, I was way off base. It's totally hardcore accurate.
Yeah, and it's
to the point
about
where you're
that.
Like, how come they only have flip phones and shit? And you're like, oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Yep, and then I even made a couple notes because I was looking for stuff too. That in the very beginning of the movie, when the girl pulls up to get on the bus, she's listening to an Everclear song that came out at that time. And then the guy in the van says something about blah 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 Lisa Loeb, and it's not a reference you'd make now, because no one gives a fuck about Lisa Loeb. She does a cooking show now. they do a few little things like that kind of help set the scene, but you wouldn't know it till the very end.
So I found myself wishing, as they got on the plane, they cut to Devon Sawa, and I thought, oh, it would be so great if they just went credits right now, because this is going to turn out to be, he's going to wake up from his vision, and then they're going to have to go through it again, but then when it wasn't a vision, and he gets ripped out of the plane, and the debris from the plane takes out the last survivor.
In the bar.
Yeah, that was great.
That was pretty awesome.
Beautiful.
And then you have a nice recap of all the deaths again in the end credits there, I believe.
Reminding me of the barbed wire cutting the guy in thirds, which was one of the more entertaining deaths. Two had a lot of good deaths.
Yeah.
The barbed wire shot is a really good VFX sequence, too.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. So,
all in all,
they're fun to watch.
As a gestalt.
Yeah, they're just kind of, they're nothing, if you take them as nothing more than they're intended to be, which is just kind of fun, sort of mid-90s, early 2000s slashery type movies. I guess they're all 2000s slasher movies.
Yeah, gory, gruesome fun for the whole thing.
They're the Saw Paranormal Activity of accidents.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I think they, except for two-thirds of the fourth movie, they managed to avoid the sequel slump. And to me, there's not this one's super shitty. It was just these are all, minor gradations in quality. I liked some better than others, but I really enjoyed watching all five of them.
The series starts at a B, and then just depending upon the part you're watching, wavers down to a C, and then occasionally up to an A-.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of right in the same wheelhouse. So.
Yeah, if you were to average them all out, I would say it's probably a B to B- as a series.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. I mean, that's obviously actually above average.
I would give it a 7 out of 10 for all of them.
Yeah, I would say as a series, I'd go about the same. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. I was totally glad I watched them, and I was a little surprised I hadn't seen them before.
Since there are so many deaths, we've actually forgot to talk about one of my favorites from the fourth one, and that's the girl getting just ground up in the gears of the...
In the escalator.
Oh, God,
in
the escalator. Yes.
Yeah, that's fucking awful. Just,
yeah, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, I completely... Because, yeah, that's part of that sequence that gets taken back, so I kind of forgot about
it.
But
that sequence is like, I was like, holy balls.
Yeah, that was a pretty validly foul, disturbing sequence.
Overall, I would say it's a series that, as far as things that have become, the franchise is kind of an important thing to horror. I mean, it kind of validates you if you're a franchise as far as horror goes.
Oh, totally, yeah.
I would say this one deserves to be up there with any of the modern days. I would say I like it better than Saw series.
I
like it better than the Hostel series. I most certainly like it better than the fucking shit bucket Paranormal Activity series. that's where that kind of falls for me. I don't think I regretted watching any of them, but I would, I'd probably say probably in that same 6.75 to 7.5 range.
Yep.
Would you watch a Final Destination 6?
Yeah, of course I would.
Yeah, I think they've built up enough goodwill that I would just keep watching these.
They're such a good cash grab that I would keep going back until they stop making them.
I think I would too. I think, and even if having heard us talk about all these, if these still nothing about these sounds fun, just go watch the 6-minute clip of that gym death with the gymnast chick, just to see one of the best deaths on screen of any horror movie ever. I think if that alone is the legacy of this movie, that's pretty good.
I mean, and they're still just making bank. This one, the newest one, cost $40 million to make, and it made $160 million.
Which means we will see a six then. That's pretty much a four.
It's cool. I mean, keep that creative team. Weirdly enough, this is the guy who wrote this is the guy who wrote Nightmare on Elm Street, which was a shit pile. But for this, he managed to... Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, the new one was
awful. He managed to do that, distilling the thing down to its essence and taking it in a couple of new directions and not shitting all over it like he did with Elm Street.
Although there wasn't really a legacy here to be ruined.
Well, I mean, there probably is for people who are 15 now.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's just we're of another era. So what do you say in order of quality? I would say my favorites are 1, 5, 2, 3, and 4. 4 being the kind of shittiest, and one being my favorite.
That's probably about what I would do too.
I think I would go 2-1-5 or 2-1-3-5-4.
You thought 3 was better than 5?
It had more of my deaths in it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it has more moments.
The only thing that I really love about the fifth, maybe. You could, all right, let me think about it just one more second. We'll go 2-1-3/5-4.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I see that.
So you said yours was similar?
It's pretty close, yeah, because I feel like 4 is definitely the one that I liked the least. I think that definitely has to be last. 1, I guess I'd probably bump up a little higher than maybe. If 1 had been the third movie, it would have seemed more lackluster, but just being the original, I think I'd give it more credit. So yeah, I'd be like a... 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, something like that. But although the ones in the middle could kind of shift around depending on my mood, I can see.
Right.
But yeah, totally. I had a really good time watching all of these. I blew through them all in a couple days. I didn't expect to enjoy them as much as I did. So
they're short too.
I was expecting
they're all 80 minutes, which is nice.
I was expecting a fatigue that never set in, which is weird because with 3 Slumber Party Massacres, I was already deadly sick of that.
Yeah, but those were
way more varied
more varied, but also not a lot of variance in quality, all of which was shit.
Yeah, so Final Destination, people who are making these movies, continue to make them, please. And please make the last one be the hour and a half long carnage scene that kills everybody on the planet because somebody opened a Sprite.
That would be really great.
All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Okay, we're back. And for next week, Adam and I discussed what movies we wanted to watch before Josh got here, because that way we got to pick whatever we wanted. Because
I was hella late.
So
we're doing Almost in Theaters week.
Yeah, it's stuff that's still really pretty new, kind of, which for us is rare.
All right.
So we've got the ABCs of Death, which I don't know if we talked about on mic last week, but I talked about a little bit with at least you guys. ABCs of Death, which is available on demand before it's in theaters type thing, kind of like John Dies at the End was. The movie Sinister, and then Silent Hill Revelation.
Oh, boy.
Which will probably make us argue about Silent Hill again.
Could we do... So there was that other one that... There's Mama is out.
No.
There was also...
The whole point was that you don't get
there
to
There was
pick.
This thing about... There's this other one that looked really great.
Nope.
Oh, Molly? Lovely
nope.
Molly?
Uh-uh.
Something like that?
Nope.
Next week?
Nope.
Hey, you don't get to tell me about next week. You can't tell me how to live my life.
10 weeks from now? No, I don't know if we could ever do that, Josh. I don't know.
I feel like Adam and I will probably start calling each other earlier and earlier every day. Make sure we
see, that's okay because Adam is too far away to punch me.
And I'm too weak to be able to punch anything.
Well, look, I was about to say that I could totally take you, but actually I'm not sure.
I know. I think,
could knock you down and sit on you,
you know,
I think.
I think if you and I ever tried to get into a physical altercation, the winner would be whoever gives up because they try to find dignity first. The person that walks away is actually the winner.
The first person to land a punch is probably going to be the winner. Ben, you're oh, way more, you can take way more punishment than I can.
That's true, and my endurance might be a factor.
So our little girly slaps, eventually I'd be like, oh, my cheek, it's stinging.
Well, I know for a fact what I'm going to try and incite next time we're all at, you know, KOL Con drunk together.
Oh.
It's like, you gotta just fight it out.
I mean, he's just going to keep subtly bringing up Juno.
if you promise to get into an argument with Zach Johnson where you will argue with him for as long as he wants to argue, I will totally fight Matt Alex.
Oh my god, man. That's a proposition, though, man. Cause, like, that dude can argue forever.
Like, and I want to see that. Like, I want the angry
after, like,
argument.
The fun of it, because, you know, I like to argue.
Me too.
And, like, long after the fun has, like, ceased for me, it's just like, you are still way into this, aren't you? We got, like, eight more hours.
I certainly
to
don't
go.
Understand why you have to make, you have to think that some goddamned pirate is somehow a good thing for the goddamned industry, like some kind of fucking moron. Which would be hour three of your argument. So please, get into that. And then, you
we'll
can see me
fight.
Slap Matt.
All right, cool. Thanks thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you again next week.
See you next week.